cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're going through life, what a thing to give us hope that we just need to dwell on that, and that is what is going to draw us nearer to Him. Oftentimes we try to do a lot of things, but it's really quite simple what we have to do to draw closer to God. And I think our passage today from Proverbs 15:1, when I was thinking about how can we achieve what this verse talks about, it's not something we can actually achieve in and of ourselves. It's something that God has to work in us. So how do we achieve it? Well, we achieve it by drawing closer to Him. And then He gives us the ability to do what we need to do. So let's read from Proverbs 15, verse 1, and I'll go down to verse 4. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools sprouts folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word that teaches us what you want us to know. We thank you that you have revealed to us in your word everything that we need for life and for godliness. We pray that we would meditate on your word, and we would meditate on your sacrifice for us. And as we approach this passage tonight, just pray that you would open up our minds and our hearts to receive your word. Be with me as I help us walk through it, that I would declare only the truth of your gospel. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've entitled today's message, Giving a Good Response. Giving a Good Response. And I want to talk about making that response. This verse contains, that's verse 1, let's look at it again. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This verse gives us two possible responses to a situation. It appears that a person has displayed anger towards us. How are we going to respond? Are we going to give a gentle answer or a harsh word? This verse is typically viewed as referring to a spoken word, but it may also be something that's nonverbal. What happens if somebody hits you? How do you respond to them then? The Bible tells us what to do. Turn the other cheek. So whether it's a verbal response or a nonverbal response, the way a believer should respond is quite clear. Sometimes we give a verbal response, but people can see from our body language that what we're saying isn't really matching up to the way we're feeling, right? And I don't think that's what the first part of this verse is referring to either. In fact, if we think about it, all of us have experienced the impact of words, whether it's on an individual level, as a community. We all know that words have impact. In fact, much of our current discourse in culture today is focused on words. What words have been said in the past that shouldn't have been said? What words can't be said now because they might be offensive? And so this is what people are constantly talking about. So it's good for us as Christians to have a clear idea of how we should respond to certain situations. In fact, if we think about it, God Himself thinks words are very important. What is another term to describe Jesus? The Word. How did God create the universe? He spoke words. How does the universe keep going? How is it sustained? By the word of his power. How will he judge us? We will be judged for every careless word that we've said. And he will use words, depart from me, or welcome. So words are very important. Our culture has tried to teach us some pragmatism with the old children's nursery rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." In other words, if you're mad at somebody, just don't hit them. You can say whatever you want, but don't hit them. And yeah, that's pragmatic, but it's untrue that calling somebody something in anger isn't going to be hurtful. In fact, while there is an immediate and serious danger to using force, sometimes the impact of words said in anger has a much longer lasting and greater impact on an individual. So we must use a biblical response in these situations rather than these unacceptable worldly ways of responding when we feel hurt. So let's look at the first part of this verse, Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath. If we're giving an answer, that must mean that there was a question. And if we're turning away wrath, that must mean that this question was made in anger. When somebody approaches us in anger, what's our usual default response? Well, we become defensive because we feel that by being angry at us, this person has wronged us. And so it's very hard for us to give a gentle answer. And that's why this verse is calling us to do that. As we read through the Bible, we encounter people who had to deal with this kind of situation. And Dean has been over a passage that I want to refer to briefly now, and that is the account of when Abigail and David interacted with each other. And we can turn to 1 Samuel 25. And we'll just briefly look through this interaction because I think it illustrates the point made in this verse. So if we look at verse 2 and verse 3 tell us about some of the characters. It says, "Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. The woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite." So we have a description of Nabal. He was very harsh and badly behaved, or harsh and evil in his dealings. I wonder how that's going to play out in his response. And then we have Abigail, who was intelligent and beautiful in appearance. Then we hear David's request. If we go down to verse 8, just for sake of time, "Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David." So David makes a request of Nabal during this feast time. "We're hungry. Could you send us whatever you have that you could spare?" So let's see how Nabal responds to that request. In verse 10, "But Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are so many servants today, each breaking away from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shearers and give them to men whose origin I don't know? So Nabal does not have a very good response to this request. In fact, we could say he's angry. So then how does David respond? If we jump down to verse 13, when these words are recounted to him, David says to his men, "Each of you gird on his sword." And then in verse 22, "May God do so to the enemies of David and much more if by morning I leave as much as one male of any who belong to him." So David isn't following what we're being told to have a gentle answer. His immediate reaction is to do what we tend to do, which is to think of what action he can take against this person who's wronged him. Now let's see how Abigail deals with this situation. If we look at verse 24, and I apologize, you can read through this whole account later or listen to Dean's message to get a full picture of what's going on. But we see Abigail's answer here. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the blame." So Abigail's answer is humble. First, we get this picture of her falling down at the feet of somebody. This is how people showed respect and still do to some extent. If you go to see a king or a queen, you're expected to do this. And then she also says, "Let me take the blame for the situation. Let me be found at fault." And so then David responds in verse 32. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand." So David recognizes that his initial response was not a godly response. He wanted to take matters into his own hands and avenge this wrong that was done to him. And because of Abigail's way of handling the situation, he saw that God was in that to prevent him from making a mistake. And then we hear the end of the story in verse 39 or 38. 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from evil. The Lord has returned the wrongdoing of Nabal on his own head." So David recognized that his action would have been an evil action because he was out to hurt Nabal. And if it wasn't for Abigail helping him change course, he would have done something wrong. And it was much better for God to carry out the punishment on Nabal than it was for Daniel to try to solve the situation on his own. So we see there somebody saved from making a wrong response by somebody giving a gentle answer. Another example of somebody giving a gentle answer is found in Judges 8. It's the story of Gideon. We'll read a couple of verses starting in verse 1. So a bunch of battles have been fought. And in verse 1, the men of Ephraim come to Gideon and said to him, "What is this thing you've done to us, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian?" And they contended with him vigorously. Other versions say that they were very angry. But he said to them, "What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has given the leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, into your hands. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger towards him subsided when he said that. So basically, these people are upset that Gideon didn't call on them and make them part of everything. And Gideon says, you know what? The victory that I had is nothing compared to what God helped you to do. And that made their anger to subside because of the way he approached them with this gentle answer. Could have said, well, you know, God didn't want me to call on you that time. He could have felt threatened and lashed back at them, but he didn't do that. So he is an example of somebody who gave the right kind of answer, the gentle answer. Sometimes there is nonverbal responses to potential confrontation. So we won't go through this whole story, but you all know that in Genesis 32, Jacob's going to meet Esau, and he anticipates that Esau is going to be mad. So he does some things to try to stop that from happening. And even when he finally does meet Esau, before Esau can even say anything, he bows down in the dust 7 times. And so he didn't have to say anything. Right then Esau realized that Jacob's attitude had changed, that he was now willing to act differently towards his brother than could have been expected. Another interesting story is the woman who anointed Jesus' feet in Luke 7:37. She doesn't say anything. She goes in there and she anoints his feet with the perfume and with her tears, and she wipes his feet with her hair. But that was her, in a way, weeping over her sin. And we know this because Jesus gives the parable about the person who was forgiven much. And then Jesus tells her that her sins have been forgiven. So she acted in a good way, but the Pharisee did not act in a good way. This is what he said: if this man were a prophet, he would know who this is and what kind of woman is touching him, for she's a sinner. Simon is acting with self-righteous anger. How dare Jesus interact with this person who's no good and bring down the honor of this congregation? So to summarize these stories, and to summarize this first part of the verse, a gentle response is a humble response. If we're going to have a gentle response, we better be willing to humble ourselves. And that's what I liked about the hymn that we've sung. That hymn reveals to us that everything is about Christ working in us, not about what we're doing, because we can't do anything. Abigail takes responsibility in humility for something she didn't even do. Gideon emphasized the greatness of somebody else's contribution in comparison to his own, even though he was the one that God chose. Jacob bowed down to the ground, even though he was the chosen one, and Esau wasn't. Our ability to give a gentle response is a work of God that's manifested through the Holy Spirit in us, not something that we come by naturally. We could also say that it's grace. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, and with diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Then down in verse 7 he says, now to each one of us grace has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he concludes in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. So another component, apart from humility, is also love. And we can only truly love our enemies if the love of Christ is found in us. So when we think about this gentle response, let's remember that the first thing is we have to be humble. Then the second thing is we have to be willing to love, just as we have been loved. Now let's look at the second part. A harsh word stirs up wrath. The alternative to the gentle answer is its opposite, the harsh word here. And this harsh word is a response that's intended to inflict pain on the person that you're sending it out to. It's a different word in the Hebrew than is used in the first part of the verse. So you're lashing back out to inflict pain on somebody else because you feel that they've wronged you. While we may force people by words or deeds into submission, that isn't God's way. It's man's way. So this second part of the verse is describing how man in his fallen nature would respond, not the way that God wants us to respond. A gentle response, therefore, is godly, whereas an angry tongue is ungodly. And if we look at verse 4 of this Proverbs 15, we see the motivation behind these answers or these methods of answering. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. So why are we motivated to have a gentle response? Or why are we motivated to give a harsh word? Verse 4 gives us the answer. In the one response, we want the other person to have life. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. Just like God provided for his people ever since creation, through to the New Jerusalem, we see this image of a tree providing life for his people. There was an actual tree in the garden. That's why they had to seal it off so Adam and Eve couldn't go back in. We know that Jesus died on a tree to provide us with life. And then we see the tree of life again in Revelation 22. We're supposed to have this same attitude. Why do we want to give a gentle response? Not because it's part of our human nature, but because it's part of God's nature to want to give life. In contrast, then, we have this perverse tongue that destroys. I'm sure we can all remember hurtful words that have been said to us or that we've said to others. Unfortunately, even if we forgive others or they forgive us, sometimes these words still come back at the most opportune moment and can make us feel very sad and depressed. Knowing this, how careful we should be when we respond to others, even if their action is especially grievous towards us. The New Testament tells us we are not to repay like for like. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and following. You can turn there if you'd like. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded and sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. Then a quote from the Psalms, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are inclined to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And 1 Thessalonians 5:15 tells us to be patient with everyone. So we see here that there is no way, as believers, we should be wanting to give this harsh response, because that would be repaying the evil that we feel somebody did to us with giving evil back to them. And that's an ungodly, worldly way of dealing with the situation. In verse 9 that we just read, we're told to repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you might inherit a blessing. What's the greatest thing we can do if somebody approaches us in this way? Tell them about Christ. Christ didn't revile his enemies. Christ took on our sin. We were his enemies. We crucified him, in a sense. But he didn't get angry at us. He's still not angry at us today when we fall into sin, as long as we repent and ask for forgiveness. So how can we be angry at other people when they say something that's unkind to us? And I think that something that I struggle with sometimes is accepting God's providence in my life, or accepting what His Word says about certain things. And I think that applies here. How do I respond to the conviction of God through something He's doing in my life, or through something that the Word says? Do I lash back and say, "No, God, I'm not going to accept this"? Or do I approach it in humility and accept it as coming from God? Or maybe I don't get mad. Maybe I just try to find a way around the situation. I try to sidestep God, as it were, and figure things out some other way than the way that He's told me I need to go forward. And, you know, I'm constantly fighting against that, to be honest with you, because it's a lot easier to be proud and to think that I can figure it out on my own than it is to trust God. And then another thing, how do I talk to myself? When I think about bad things that I've done, do I accept forgiveness in my own life? Or do I beat myself up about my things that I think, or things that I want to say that I say in my mind but don't say out loud, that nobody else knows about but God does? Or do I accept God's grace to me as a sinner? Do I respond gently to myself? The believer realizes that but for Christ, he too would be unable to recognize whether speech is acceptable or unacceptable. And that's why the conversations that people are having today have no resolution, because they don't have a standard to judge what is said. It's a made-up worldly standard that's constantly changing. Today it's okay to react in this way, tomorrow it's not. But with God's Word, we have a solid truth that we need to react in humility and love. We don't lash back at people who are angry towards us. Instead, we share with them the love, the same love that we've received in Christ, who was willing to die for us even when we were his enemies and had done nothing good and could do nothing good. So how will I respond when I'm confronted in anger? Will I respond to abusive words in kind, allowing myself to be overcome by my pride, ambition, or anger? Or will I choose to be a blessing to the world and other believers? Will I be destructive and tear other people down? Or will I choose to encourage them in the Lord? Will I choose to share the wonderful message of salvation in Christ, just like Stephen did when he was being stoned? He wasn't mad at them. He just shared with them the message of the gospel. May we be like David when we're going down the wrong path and we're confronted by wisdom from God's word, that we turn course and don't carry out a harsh word if we're tempted in that regard. And may God give us grace to be humble and to keep us from acting in our pride. So that was a pretty challenging verse to me, because I know it's something that I struggle with. But the wonderful thing is that if I trust in God, God gives grace to the humble, as Dean has said so many times. If I try to be gracious on my own, it's going to be a never-ending battle. And so I need to trust fully in God and turn to his word before I make a response, and make sure that my motivations are a gentle answer. So I praise God for this wonderful word. Does anybody have any questions?